Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
Welcome back. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for May is a prayer book. That's true, they still make them, prayer books. In the old days, that was how Christians learned to pray, both from God's Word and from the prayers of those who had come before them, prayers that had stood the test of time and actually been found useful in the lives of many, many generations of Christians. Well, that's exactly what we're offering you in the Issues Etc. book of the month for May. It's called Stark's Prayer Book. It's been around for a long time, and it stood the test of time. It is thoroughly Christ-centered and cross-focused. And remember, there's nothing wrong from praying your prayers from a book. You're simply standing on the shoulders of the saints who have come before you. Their words can become your words with Stark's Prayer Book. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the book there on virtually every page of our homepage, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Stark's Prayer Book, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. Why do you go to church? Do you got a sense of obligation, guilt, to see your friends? Why is it so few young people go to church nowadays? These are not idle questions. These are kind of questions that church growth gurus have been asking for decades now. Have their answers proven right? And why is it that when Christians find themselves, restricted from going to church, often their impulse to go is even stronger? Joining us to talk about the question, why go to church, Pastor Tim Pauls, associate pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, editor of the Lutheran Youth magazine Higher Things, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things titled A Church Full of Young People. Pastor Pauls, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be back with you.
Conventional wisdom in Christian circles for about the last 30 years has been that young people, the youth as they say, stay away from church because church just isn't exciting enough for them. You have a different explanation. What do you think it is?
To put it bluntly, I think that the reason that so many youth don't see the need for church is because they're so sheltered from the prospect of death that they don't see the need for salvation.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in our society here in the United States, for one thing, we do a pretty good job at emphasizing youth at the expense of age and death, and so we kind of take folks who are sick and we hide them away in hospitals or nursing homes so that we don't see them every day. And we glorify youth. You know, we speak all the time or we hear all the time in commercials of plastic surgery and different things you can do to stay young because the younger you are, the further you are away from death. And so the whole emphasis of our society in so many ways is on avoiding talk about getting old and getting closer to death. And in the meantime, on top of that, our society does a pretty good job, or actually a sad job, I think, of sheltering youth and sheltering children from the prospect of death. And so from a very early age, we're taught to pretend that it's not there.
So it's more than just kind of the old adage that the youth consider themselves indestructible and therefore see no need for anything beyond themselves. It goes deeper than that.
It goes much deeper than that, and certainly there is youth do have a habit of, I think, of thinking they're pretty indestructible or immortal. I mean, they heal up a lot faster than you and I would when they get hurt. But far more than that, they're simply sheltered from talk or seeing death.
All right, is this the case? I mean, we don't have exhaustive knowledge of it, but is this the case for Christians in parts of the world where death is a little more imminent, either because of direct Christian persecution or other kinds of dangers that they live under constantly?
Yeah, you know, and this is the basis for the article I wrote. I have some new friends who are now members of our church here in Boise, Idaho, from halfway around the world. And while I was walking them through confirmation classes, they one day stopped and asked me, "Pastor, where are all the youth in your church?" And they come from a church that was just packed full of youth every Sunday. And certainly we're from far different cultures with a lot of differences, but as we talk through why there might be so many youth there as compared to any church in America, the reason that became so apparent over time was this. Where they come from, death is always a very real possibility, not just from natural disaster or disease, but because they're in places where there's a lot of violence, and a lot of violence directed against Christians. And it seems that over there, from what they told me, over there, because death is so apparent and so sadly common for so many, people understand far more clearly than we do that this world is going to pass away quickly, that they stand a good chance of passing away quickly, and that they need the hope of salvation in Christ. For youth in this country, the expectation is they'll live to be 70, 80, 90 years old, and so they've got a long time to wait before they have to start thinking about death and sadly, salvation in heaven. Whereas over in other parts where there's a good chance of dying every day, I think that youth are far more attuned to their need for thinking about eternal life right now.
So it sounds like the church, kind of pop American Christianity speaking generally, really isn't doing our youth or any of us many favors by presenting a picture of Christianity that excludes, in some cases, I mean, it excludes, if you're doing it right, suffering and persecution, certainly hardship and the cross.
I would say so, and if the church is about preaching about sin, it has to talk about the wages of sin too, and that involves suffering, and that certainly involves death. When a church leaves a message of sin behind and moves to, you know, self-help or whatever it might be, living from day to day, or Christian living, whatever it's called, they're going to stop talking about death. And why did Christ come and take on flesh and die and rise again? To save us from one thing we certainly couldn't save ourselves from, and that's death, the wages of sin. So if whenever a church fails to keep on preaching of sin and the consequence of death, it's doing people a great disservice, because it also helps in covering up the fact that people die. It keeps people from thinking about and considering their need for salvation in Christ.
Someone's going to say, look, if you want to attract the youth, you've got to give them what they want. And the last thing they want to hear is about their mortality. You need to, like we do with everyone else nowadays, we need to meet their felt needs. Your response?
My response is that I think that youth can be quite aware of their mortality. It's just that we adults are afraid of talking to them about it more than anything. You know, one example was last year the movie Up came through the theaters, and it was in 3D, very well animated. And the first reviews I read about it were, the movie's not for kids because it's so serious. And it's so serious because it starts out with the man's wife dying. That's how the movie begins. And some of the reviews I read said, we can't take kids to this because it brings in the topic of death. I think that kids and youth think about death, but they're trained not to talk about it by society, or even not to think about it by society. I think we do a much better job of bringing home to these to youth that death is a possibility, and that's why Christ has died for them. Sooner or later, we all face death. There's a 100% mortality rate for us at one age or another, and youth every once in a while will have to encounter that face to face, anyways, through the death of a friend in an accident, or from disease, or sadly suicide, or something like that. We need to keep speaking of what Christ came to save us from.
Which do you think came first? I mean, I'm curious about this lately, because much of what has passed for positive change in the church in the last three decades has come under the banner of either reaching the lost, but I think on an individual congregational basis, even more so, attracting young people. And so all sorts of things have been forfeited, laid aside, and other things have been adopted and changes introduced into the church in the name of attracting young people. So which do you think came first, dropping sin or dropping the cross in our preaching? I mean, they're related, obviously, as you have said, but which do you think came first?
Wow, that's a pretty sweeping question. I guess my thought is that first off, just sinful human nature being what it is, we don't want to talk about our sins. And so the first thing we're going to stop wanting to talk about is how we're guilty of sin and deserve death. And so we want any other topic but that. And you know, the devil's quite happy to fill us with anything but the message of sin and grace. If we don't want to hear about sin, then I guess we would naturally gravitate towards those who aren't talking about sin. And if we're not talking about sin, then why would we ever talk about forgiveness anymore? So I guess if that rationale works, I would guess that the progression would be, let's stop talking about sin. And once we stop talking about sin, why would we talk about the cross?
When we come back, more with Pastor Tim Pauls on why go to church, especially why young people go to church. The conventional wisdom isn't all that wise, we'll discover in the rest of our conversation. Then in the second hour of this Friday afternoon's program on this May the 7th, the challenges and joys of motherhood, a roundtable of mothers. We'll be right back.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday, May the 7th, headed into the weekend. Think about Issues Etc. on Sunday morning. You might not know what we're going to be talking about, or might not even be able to keep track of what we have talked about. We can help you with that and help you share more about Issues Etc. with those that sit near you in church, all you need to do is send us an email, craig@issuesetc.org, and ask for a promotional paragraph on Issues Etc. craig@issuesetc.org. That will get you on the mailing list for this promotional paragraph that we put out every week telling you what's coming up on Issues Etc. It gives you a little something to tell others about when you're talking about Issues Etc. with your fellow parishioners on Sunday morning. craig@issuesetc.org. We're talking about why go to church. Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest, associate pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, editor of the Lutheran Youth magazine Higher Things, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things titled "A Church Full of Young People." Most of the time, church ministry, as it's come to be called, consists of, in terms of topics and practices, peer pressure, pizza, volleyball or basketball, depending on where you live in the country. How would you respond to that, Pastor Pauls, that particular approach to youth coming to church?
If we want to keep youth in the church throughout their lives, I think we want to train the church from the get-go about what church is about, and that includes the teachings of Scripture, the doctrine of the church on a regular basis. If we take youth ministry and tell kids that it's all about frivolous stuff, the pizza, the peer pressure, the volleyball, and all of that, for one thing, we're training them to not like the church as they grow older, because then it's time to get serious, and they were taught by the church that it's all about peer pressure and volleyball. Furthermore, if we spend these critical years of the life of youth, when they're going from kids to adults, and they're becoming more aware of the pressures of being an adult and even their own mortality, if we spend that time treating that frivolously, when they encounter a situation that includes suffering, that includes perhaps the death of a loved one, will they come back to the church if they haven't been taught about the importance of Christ and the comfort that he has in the cross?
Oh, then let's talk about something in which you can hardly avoid the subject of death. Paul says of the Lord's Supper, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is something that's often completely absent from youth ministry. Talk about the Lord's Supper, the sacrament, as integral to how the church serves youth.
Well, the Lord's Supper, of course, is how Christ, along with his word, is present with his people throughout their lives, nurturing their lives. If we, as youth grow in their understanding, certainly we instruct them, and they are thus prepared to examine themselves and receive the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, of course, grants to those who receive it in faith the forgiveness of sins. It strengthens their faith. It grants them life and salvation. And it also connects the youth with Christ, who has died for them and who is now risen for them. And so they know that the Lord is as with them in those sometimes awful teenage years and beyond, just as much as he was with those disciples in the locked room the evening of Easter. It's Christ says, "This is my body, my blood, given for you," and that is to strengthen and preserve them unto life everlasting, even when death intrudes.
I heard somebody once say we need to give our children, I think we're talking mostly about children in the church, something to grow into rather than stuff to grow out of. What does that mean?
You know, I'm a firm believer in the adage that kids most of all want to be grown-ups. You know, that's why when my kids were smaller and I was trying to fix something around the house, which is tough enough for me anyway, one of my kids was always holding the wrench that I needed or running around with the tape measure or whatever, because they want to be grown-ups too. I think we want to treat kids the same way in church. There's nothing wrong with a cute little Sunday school song, assuming that the text is doctrinally good. But, you know, it's even better, I think, to challenge kids to learn hymns, to start memorizing Scripture, the Catechism, at an early age, and to demonstrate to them that that's what grown-ups do, too. Kids want to be grown-ups, and rather than try to keep them as cute little kids, we do a much better service to them to in an age-appropriate way, teach them the doctrines of the church, teach them the great hymns and creeds of the church, so that rather than waiting to get away from the cute stuff of Sunday school, they're growing into the confession of the faith.
The persecution that you spoke of at the beginning of our conversation for the younger generations perhaps isn't just a hypothetical or a theoretical possibility. They may be a generation that even here faces real persecution for confessing Christ. How do we today in the church prepare them?
We prepare them by speaking to them God's word. We nurture their faith so that they understand what sin does, both in temptations of the flesh within them and also what sin does in society to turn the society against against Christians and against the church. We continue to feed their faith with the forgiveness of sins and through the Word and through the Lord's Supper so that the Lord is at work to strengthen them. We pray for them a lot, as we do for all generations, that the Lord would grant them the grace to endure whatever suffering lies ahead, because suffering does lie ahead, whether it be persecution from society or whether it be grief and affliction on the inside. Suffering will come, but the Lord is gracious.
Finally, then, Pastor Pauls, you're the editor of Higher Things magazine. Tell us about this publication.
Hey, Higher Things magazine is a magazine designed for youth. It is a magazine full of Lutheran catechesis, instruction in Scripture, and law and gospel to help the kids grow into the faith. We try to take doctrinal matters and matters that they will face in society and say, what does Scripture have to say about this in a way that helps them continue to apply what they learned in the small catechism and in Sunday school to their lives in high school and college and beyond?
Folks, if you're looking for a graduation gift for an eighth grader or a high schooler, give them a subscription to Higher Things magazine. You can find out more under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can subscribe by calling 1-888-448-2359. 1-888-448-2359, Higher Things Magazine. Pastor Tim Pauls is Associate Pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, editor of Higher Things Magazine, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things titled, A Church Full of Young People. Tim, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Well, thanks to Zion Lutheran Church in East Moline, Illinois, and their pastor, Gary Wright, for being part of the Issues Etc. 300. You know, there's a deadline coming up for congregations considering Issues Etc. 300 membership. It's not a deadline imposed by us, but a lot of congregations will do their budgets getting ready for a fiscal year that turns over in the summer. That means July 1st is usually the deadline for budget issues in some congregations. And that's what the Issues Etc. 300 is about. It's about getting Issues Etc. into your congregational budget and being part of the Issues Etc. 300. $1,000 a year in your budget is all it takes. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find a flyer you can print off there. And mindful of that July 1st deadline, if your congregation is like that, take it to your congregation and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. issuesetc.org. Click support. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, May the 7th. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be with us here in the studio along with Rebecca Curtis. And then on the phone, Sandra Ostapowicz. They make up a Mother's Roundtable in advance of Mother's Day. We're going to talk about the challenges and the joys of motherhood on this Friday afternoon, May the 7th. Maybe we should just take the conventional wisdom about bringing young people into the church and get rid of it. It hasn't proved all that wise, has it? I mean, it really hasn't brought the young people in. It's made a lot of baby boomers kind of happy with themselves, but the young still remain away in large numbers. Maybe the church should go back to doing what the church has been commanded to do, what the church has been given to do, what the church has been authorized and equipped to do, what Jesus sent his church to do, not just for the young, not for just the old or anyone in between, but for everyone, sinners of all ages, preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior, to all people, to all the world. The conventional wisdom hasn't gotten us any place. It's been slick marketing, but it hasn't done what it promised to do. Jesus' promise, however, that through his church he preaches the repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all sinners everywhere, at all times, all ages, that promise is good for a lifetime. It's good until he returns. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.